So, all right, open your Bibles up to Romans chapter 3, verse 9. You should know that all people, if they're not born again, all people are guilty before God. And I just noticed this, and I didn't piece this together with what's going on now, but this right here describes a whole bunch of America. So what then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proven, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understands. There is none that seeks after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their way, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. You know, every time they have a Super Bowl halftime show, it seems like it's loaded with satanic, just different things. They flaunt it right before the whole world to see. And then you see parades where they celebrate Satan. They've gone out of their way. They're lost. One time I was watching them on TV in the House of Representatives, and somebody got up there to speak, and this guy evidently was a pretty decent guy, but most of the Democrat Party just started hissing at him. Nancy Pelosi and all of them hissing at him. That describes them people right there. And it describes, you know, there's a lot of people running around here that are kind of in them shoes. Some of them are deceived. You know, they think they're on the right track, but they're still missing it. On both sides of the party, they're missing it. They think they're right. There are ways to a man. There are ways that seem right to a man, but the ends are death. We must get focused on God. Now, what do we do about all these people? This is one of the frustrating things that I run into. I run into people that should know better when they're talking about all these other people, and they say, just hang them all. Let God sort it out. That's not exactly God's plan. Now, the ones that have drank blood, they're toast. But not everybody that's doing wrong needs to die. See, if that was God's way, we'd all be dead. None of us can stand before God and say we never made a mistake. In our old natural life. Now, Paul, I thought Paul lied one time in the Bible. I was reading the Bible and he said he had done no man any harm. I thought, okay, this guy, that's a flat out lie. But it wasn't. Because when he was Saul, he did those things. Then he got converted and turned to Paul. He got made a new creature in Christ. his past got completely washed away. So he had done no man any harm. All that had been taken care of. If God can do that for Paul, he can do that for anybody. Now, let's get back here to verse 19. Now, I don't know if any of you have paid attention to these little witnessing tracts. You get them mostly out of the Baptist church, but this is kind of an outline for it. But almost every witnessing tract that you find will follow this outline pretty close. Verse 19 says, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God." Now right there, it's telling us there's a difference between people that are under the law and people that aren't. The Jews are not the only ones that are under the law. Did you know that? If you're not born again, you're going to be held accountable to the law. So all these people that are running around going crazy, they need to understand that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. I've ran into several Satanists, you know, and devil worshipers and just crazy people at different times. And Christians would be battling with them, you know, going head to head with them and throwing rocks back and forth. And I would put that on there. I would say that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. And absolutely everybody shuts up. They know. But every knee will bow. That means we will bow. We've already bowed our knee to Jesus, but we will bow our knee to him again. When we see the Lord of glory face to face, we're going to hit our knees. Verse 20 says, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." Every Christian needs to get a hold of this. Every single one of them. "There, by the deeds of the law, shall no flesh be justified." Period. You know, we're big on telling people you're saved by grace. And then when they show up to church, they say, "Here's these five things that you need to do in order to get to heaven." Well, when you was out on the street witnessing to him, you said, "All you need to do is believe on the Lord Jesus," right? And then when they come to church, you tack on these five things. Well, that's not a new scheme, because the Jews did that too. They'd go to the ends of the world to get a proselyte, bring him in, but then they would overload him with new laws that they didn't even keep. Jesus scolded them for that one time. And these rules that these people come up with are almost as many as you can imagine. I had one tell me I couldn't possibly be a Christian if I wasn't a Mason. I had no idea anything about the Masons, but I knew that wasn't right. One girl called me crying, said her pastor told her she didn't get to go to heaven because she didn't speak in tongues. See what happens to people when they start trying to mix law with grace? It frustrates people. And for some reason, some pastors get some kind of a power trip out of it, like they have some kind of control over people, and that should never be the case. He said, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. You know, Paul, he said, I didn't know there was sin until I knew the law. Then once he knew the law, then he knew sin, and he started as wretched. It's curious about people. If you tell them not to do something, guess what happens? They're going to do something. If you tell them to do something, they won't do it. The funniest thing I ever seen, and it's so true about people and the law, I knew a guy up home that had a fishing pond that got overloaded with bass, and he told everybody around, go catch them bass, get them out of there. Go catch those fish, there's too many. Nobody would go out there and go fishing. So he put a no fishing sign on the gate. The place was flooded. I mean, there's people out there all the time. You see how crazy people can be in their thinking sometimes. Well, the Jews, they didn't know, you know. Then as soon as they got the law, they broke it. Look here in verse 21. It says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time His righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, by the law of faith. Therefore we can conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Now we're going to break this down because it's kind of a busy little part of the Bible. But this is a good way to witness to people, and it's a good way to show people where we all missed it, how we can all get out of trouble and get to heaven. That's our goal, isn't it? So let's start. Here at the first spot, verse 23. So we run into somebody, and he decides that maybe he wants to listen to us about Jesus. You know, not everybody wants to hear it, but sometimes people will open just a slight doorway and give you an opportunity to witness to them. So when they do give you that little bit of an opportunity, you need to make sure that it's a quality minute that you get to spend with them. So this first one says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, there's a lot of people that think Christians are looking down on them. You know, there's a lot of people out in the world that call us self-righteous hypocrites. And rightfully so, a lot of people in the world have really been frowned upon by Christians. They've been judged by Christians. They've been scolded by Christians. They've been excluded by Christians. Almost anything you can imagine. They've been uninvited. They've been avoided. Almost anything you can imagine. has happened to people in the world. Now, here's the thing. We're not supposed to get in there real tight and be unequally yoked with them people, but that does not mean that we don't rub elbows with them. It does not mean that we don't talk to them. How else are they going to get born again? Somebody needs to hear them, tell them about Jesus. The first thing they need to know is that we've all made mistakes. There's none of us that can stand before God and say we've never made a mistake. The Bible tells us we've all sinned and we've all come short of the glory of God. But Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And He forgives us. Some people are convinced that they're damned. They're convinced that God is trying to send them to hell. You know, there's some people that show up in church every Sunday that are scared out of their mind. That should not be. If they've come in contact with the Bible and quality preaching, somebody should have told them how to get born again and be secure in their salvation. But there's a lot of people that have no idea. Some people have been going to church for 30 years and have no idea. They think they're going to maybe flip a coin somehow when they get there. Then they'll decide one way or another. That's not a way to live. So the next point we need to look at is in verse 19. We know that what things soever the law saith, it says to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. You know, there are a lot of people that are convinced that because they've done good things, they're going to go to heaven. You know, they help a lot of people, they're going to go to heaven. I had a lady explain to me one time that she was born in America, so she's a Christian. I've had people say, I have not done any of the things that would send a guy to hell. There's one thing you did that will send you directly to hell. You denied the Lord Jesus. Did you know that's the one thing that does get you sent to hell? Because if you're not born again before you leave this earth, then you're going to go to the great white throne judgment. And the Bible talks about having our names blotted out of the book of Lamb's Book of Life. See, we used to run around and we'd say, you need to get born again so you get your name wrote in the Lamb's Book of Life. Well, their names are already wrote in the Lamb's Book of Life. They just haven't sealed the deal until they get born again. But if they don't seal the deal before they leave this earth and they get to that great white throne judgment, evidently God's going to ask them, say, what did you do about my son? And they're going to have to say that they denied him. There's nothing God can do about that. He gave every man a free will to either choose yes for Jesus or no for Jesus. If they choose yes for Jesus, you're not going to see the great white throne judgment. If you say no to Jesus, you're going straight to it. And the thing that happens right after the great white throne judgment is not good. It's the lake of fire. We don't want no part of that. That's why we get born again. Amen? So the next thing we need to look at, and then verse 20, says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for the law is the knowledge of sin. No man is going to be justified by their good works. No man is going to be justified by how many times they go to church. No man is going to be justified by how much service work they do in the community. And this is a big one that Christians need to understand. Once you get born again, you're justified. You are righteous. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and you're as righteous as you're ever going to be. The day you get born again, stop trying to earn His blessings. Start receiving them. That's all you can do is receive what He's already freely given you. If there was something that you had to do to qualify for His goodness, then Jesus died on the cross in vain. The Bible tells us to believe on Jesus. That should be our number one goal. Believe on Him. So, what's going to happen when you, how do you believe on Jesus? Find what He did in His death, burial, and His resurrection, which is the new creation realities. Find out these different things that He did to you, that He's doing in you, who He is to you. Find out these in whom scriptures. Find out who you are in Him. Get a revelation of those. That's how you believe on Jesus. This last one, in verse 21, says, now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. I mean, anybody that calls on the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. Absolutely anybody. I cannot find one place in the Bible where it tells us to pre-qualify anybody. I cannot find anywhere in the Bible where it tells us to sort anybody out by class or race. In fact, the Bible tells us to see no man after the flesh. That means every race of people qualifies for salvation. All of them. And then every class of people, from the very poorest. In fact, the Bible tells us that He sent us to preach the gospel to the poor. All the way to the rich. He qualified everybody for salvation. All they have to do is hear the word preached, the gospel preached, not traditions, not doctrine, but the grace of God. Remember, the goodness of God leads men to repentance. So, we should preach the gospel, and if we have to, use words. What people need, they need to see your faith in action. They need to see you out in the community praying for people, feeding people, helping people, and yes, of course, witnessing to people. It doesn't hurt for them to see you cast a demon out of somebody. You know, I cast the devil out of a guy here in town one time. And finally, he's laying in the bar ditch having a terrible seizure. And I went over and I cast the devil out of him, and he looked up at me. And he just straightened up. I mean, I thought he was going to die when I first pulled up there. And then he got up and he walked away, and I didn't see him for several more months. And I seen him at the dollar store. And he come up to me and he said, "You know something, that's never happened to me again." And I said, "I won't. But now you need to get born again." So he got born again. In the dollar store. Yeah. So you don't have to wait to get them to a religious festival or to a church or anywhere else. You can do it on the street. God told you to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Everywhere. Everywhere is your mission field. This is just a good outline. It's a good outline for us to look back to once in a while. Just understand where we are in the whole scheme of things. It's by the grace of God that we've been forgiven. It's by the grace of God that we've been saved. It's by the grace of God that we've been justified. There's nothing we could have done to possibly get that done. All that we could do is just raise our hand and say, "Jesus, be my Lord." People in the world think that it's a really hard ritual to go through. I got a lady born again here in town that thought that salvation was some kind of a real big event that had to happen in church, and that there was some kind of ritual. She's telling me, but she's like, "I thought you had to really do something." I said, "Oh, you had to believe in your heart that God raised Jesus back to life and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. That is what you do. There's no other thing that has to happen other than those two things. Anything beyond that is traditions of men. I have people tell me you have to be standing in the water before you get saved. Said, really? What's water going to do for you? It's only by the shed blood of Jesus that your sins are erased. And don't think that it's just denominational churches that get caught up in that. I had a Word of Faith preacher. He was baptizing people one time, and he got this guy in the water and said, "This is for the remission of your sins." And I thought, you've got to be kidding me. You've been heavy in the Word, listening to some of the most powerful preachers in the state of Texas, and you come up with that? That water is not going to wash away your sins. Only the blood of Jesus can do that. See, it's time to believe what you read in the Bible and not just read what you believe. Because sometimes you're going to read something in there that's going to make your brain go squirrely. Because you don't want to agree with it. But you got to read it. And you got to look at it. And you got to ask God to help you with it. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for everything that he does for us every single day of our lives. He protects us. He guides us. Holy Spirit's always here to teach us. Show us how to rightfully divide the word of truth. And it's by your blood that we have protection. And it's by your word that we have guidance and knowledge. And it's through the knowledge of our Lord Jesus that we get grace and peace multiplied to us. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.